Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast on Radio MD and iHeart. Thanks for tuning in. This is, for those keeping score at home, podcast 869B. We got a great guest, Dora Holmes Haddad, the author of This Is Cancer, Everything You Need to Know from the Waiting Room to the Bedroom, published by Seal Press. Dora lives in San Francisco or the Bay Area, but she didn't get there by a direct route of being born there. She got her bachelor's from Smith College in Northampton, majored in comparative government. Weird to be doing this book from that, but you'll see the connection in a second. She spent 1 year studying international politics at the London School of Economics, the most prestigious place for that, so she must have done well at Smith, and then went into a chef's program at the California Culinary Academy in San Francisco, or just north of San Francisco. I've got to ask her, did it burn down or did it get damaged by the recent fires? Because it's right near there. She then moved to New York City, where she became a cookbook editor at Simon & Schuster. She returned to her state of California about 5 years later, continued to thrive in her writing career, and part of that is surviving breast cancer. So this is, in fact, a story about everything you need to know from the waiting room to the bedroom on breast cancer. Dora, thanks for joining us.
Thrilled to be here.
Now, tell me, how the heck did you go from international politics at the most prestigious school to do it, the London School of Economics, to a desire to learn to be a chef?
I blame my Italian grandmother. I loved politics, but I also loved writing and I loved cooking. And so after college, I thought, after briefly thinking I wanted to be a lawyer, I decided I did not want to go that route. And I enrolled in the chef's program, hoping that I would one day be a food writer. And that is indeed what I became. I became a cookbook editor at Simon & Schuster.
Now, Italians, the Italian government, the Italian population at least, thrive both food and politics, obviously. So I guess you could do both. Have you thought about going back into politics after your, because a lot of the care people get, a lot of the care of cancer and its development relates to how we politically fund it and what we do with it politically.
And that is exactly right. I've actually been thinking more about that as I feel better and do more advocacy work. The bringing up the patient's perspective and all the issues that surround cancer care in this country, I do hope to do more in terms of talking about health insurance and medical research, including access to clinical drug trials.
So let's talk about This Is Cancer. You, and I think it's clear from the book, you were a stage 4 inflammatory breast cancer survivor. And you went from perfectly healthy with, as you say, lots of yoga and lots of broccoli to not feeling great, to being told I had an extensive tumor in your left breast and cancer had spread to your lymph nodes and potentially a rib. So you're now feeling better and feeling good enough. What was it that got you to write this book?
I felt really strongly about telling other patients and caregivers about all of the things that my family and I didn't know, all the small details that made such a big impact on my life as a patient. And as soon as I felt able, I thought, why not put everything we didn't know in a book to help other people? And I also wrote the book because this was something that I needed and I wanted, but I couldn't find when I was a patient. And that was
so
the goal.
So part of this is, in fact, all of the things that surround the treatment, as well as talking about the variations in treatment. And you talk about chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and what we now call the personalized chemotherapy, which is really immunotherapy. So give me your perspective. You obviously ran into patients in the waiting room and in the treatment centers that have had all of these. Talk a little bit about that decision-making process.
Yes, it's unfortunately, I know too many and have met too many people, especially in my age group, under 40, who were battling different types of cancer. And luckily, I was treated at a comprehensive cancer center, which means that I had treatment options that were more cutting edge. And so fortunately, I had an oncologist. I have an oncologist who's also a researcher, and he located a clinical drug trial for me. And just as you mentioned, that is precision medicine. And he, after my traditional chemo protocol failed, he said, this is what you need to save your life. And more options like that are luckily happening in this country, because of the leap in medical research that's happening in terms of in the cancer space.
Right. And in fact, at the latest innovation meeting at the Cleveland Clinic, there are now 154 different protocols for breast cancer. And there are probably many more now everything and part of the problem, although it's not as much of a problem in breast cancer, but it is in some of the rarer cancers that have variations, is we can't get enough patients for all the trials. Talk to me, you put an emphasis in the book on clinical trials. Tell us why you did that, because it's so interesting,
well,
I think.
I felt as a patient, we often don't hear enough about them. And then when we do, as someone like me who was afraid when I heard, the word experimental trial, my first thought was, I don't want to be a guinea pig. And then as I got more educated and I realized how important the trials are and how many different types of trials there are, I feel like it's an important message to share with other patients that it might be an option for you. In particular, my clinical trial was in Los Angeles at the City of Hope Medical Center. So that added to my cancer journey in that I had to fly every week from my home outside of San Francisco to Los Angeles for treatment as well as for blood draws and for scans and everything like that. So I just really wanted to get that word out there that clinical trials might be an option, but they also might include things like traveling for treatment that you might not have thought of as a patient.
And now you also go into the nutritional part. I suppose that's normal for someone who has been a chef, but I think the thing that you realize is how important it was and how the foods you could tolerate during your treatment weren't exactly the foods that you should tolerate for best survival.
Yes, the food, I could have never imagined that food would take on such a frustrating role in my life. Obviously, everyone reacts differently to treatment, but so some people lose weight, some people gain weight, but what you crave and then just the physical side effects of the treatment, for example, if you get mouth sores, you might not be able to eat crusty things or things like that. And then what you crave might not be the healthiest. And so it's such an ongoing struggle to get the nutrients and yet to satisfy, that sense of hunger in a bigger sense.
And I think I like the phrase, there is no prize for the best patient. whatever you need to make your day, your week, your month more tolerable, you should ask for it. So one of those is having a patient advocate. Who was your advocate?
Oh, I was so lucky. I had my husband, but he had to keep going to keep his business going to keep up the health insurance. So I relied very heavily on my sister, my older sister. And she could ask questions. She could take notes during the appointment. She could speak up for me when I was unable to. And I can't say enough how important that was, and how important it is to have that person with you during your treatment.
Now, before we get into what to do about getting that advocate, if you don't have a natural one or how to select one, we're going to ask Bill Kaproth, who is our person who tells us who this episode's sponsor is. But let me first say, before I throw it to Bill, we're talking with Laura Holmes Haddad, the author of This Is Cancer, Everything You Need to Know from the Waiting Room to the Bedroom. It's really a superb, superb book written in the way that helps everyone, not just breast cancer, but everyone, and not just cancer, actually, I should say, everyone, if you will, navigate the healthcare system whenever a serious problem, or maybe even not a serious problem, develops. We should all be so lucky as to read and learn from this book. But Bill, tell us who the episode's sponsor is.
More of the You, the Owner's Manual podcast with Dr. Mike Roizen coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Organifi. Organifi is an organic superfood supplement line that makes quality, trusted nutrition convenient and accessible. We all know green juice is good for us, but have any of you tried juicing? Not only does it cost a fortune, especially if you're shopping organic, but it is also very time-consuming. And that's why I opt for Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder that you just add to water and get your greens on the go. It helps me sustain energy all throughout the day. It's quick and easy nutrition on the go. And it's not just any green juice. Remember, it's organic, and I want you to try it out, all right? Go to Organifi.com, and we're going to save you 20% off by using the code YOU, that's Y-O-U, at checkout. Once again, try out Organifi Green Juice for 20% off using code YOU, Y-O-U, at checkout at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. Now back to Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast.
We're back with Laura Holmes Haddad, author of This Is Cancer, Everything You Need to Know from the Waiting Room to the Bedroom. You're listening to podcast 869B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast, everything that is new in medicine or about medicine that'll help you take control of your health. And probably no book exemplifies that better than this book by Laura Holmes Haddad, H-A-D-D-A-D, This Is Cancer, Everything You Need to Know from the Waiting Room to the Bedroom. So it's got a very seductive title, Laura, but in fact, let's talk about how you would choose, because you really go into some detail about the benefits of an advocate, and how does one get an advocate if one doesn't have a natural one? So your husband couldn't be there. And guys are lousy advocates compared to women. Women are much better advocates. So you got your an older sister, as I remember. But tell us how you would choose that person, or how you would go about getting such a person if you didn't have a natural person.
Yes. So finding someone, first of all, that you can trust, that will be able to come with you. Often as a patient, you know, you're physically so affected by the illness, and you might need to explain to the person with you that, you know, what your issues are before, and then have them help you speak up, help them go through what the doctor or the nurses are telling you afterwards. And finding someone who can be with you throughout the treatments, you know, which could be, unfortunately, could be months. And then also, if you don't have someone related to you or a close friend, there are people out there called patient navigators who often work through the hospitals. So you might talk to a social worker at your medical center or your hospital, and they could recommend someone if you need, you know, someone outside of your family.
Now, you balance cancer and work, and you balance, if you will, beauty tips and how to plan for this whole thing. Give us some of the insights you had. I Before you do that, let me just ask you one question that's on my mind, since we're a couple months now after the Napa fires. The Culinary Institute division that's in San Francisco is real near where the Napa fires were. Did it survive, and is it going to continue to survive?
Yes, actually, I went to the California Culinary Academy, which is in the city of San Francisco, and the property, so the CIA, which is the Culinary Institute of America, is in St. Helena, near where the fires occurred. And as far as I know, the building is okay, thank goodness, because it's this historic, beautiful building, and I believe they have reopened their doors. So we are very thankful for that.
Now, what do you do in cooking for your own? You've survived now 5 years, so 5 years survival rate of this is not as high as one would expect, but you've made the 5-year survival rate. So now, what do you do for stress management? What do you do for your fitness? What do you do for your food choices, if you will, to keep healthy?
So the number one thing that I do is exercise, because the studies that I've seen that link cancer recurrence with exercise, reducing your risk of recurrence, is very clear that exercise is very important. So I walk every day. I luckily have a dog who keeps me active and 2 kids. And then I also do light weights because of my lymphedema risk, because of the surgeries on my arms. So I do some work at the gym with weights. And then because I was in medically induced menopause, that also has, had left me with hormonal fluctuations. So weight management is key with that. I'm also on a hormone therapy called letrozole. And I am monitored in terms of other cancer risks because of my genetic predisposition. So I'm monitored for skin cancer by a dermatologist, as well as for pancreatic cancer by my oncologist. And the number one thing is I enjoy life so much more. It sounds like a cliche, but I think reducing your stress and bringing in as much good and really not letting the little things get you down, that has been the most profound change in my life, as well as, letting yourself have the occasional cookie and not making yourself crazy with the dietary choices.
Now, let me go into the dietary choices, though, if I can. You were a avid, as I remember the phrase, broccoli consumer before this started. So do you feel like someone cheated you or something? Because broccoli is what we call the number one food for preventing cancer and preventing recurrences. So the cruciferous vegetables, you probably cooked them with great passion beforehand. You look at them now with either disdain or with envy?
It's a great point. I was definitely angry at broccoli immediately after my diagnosis. And I felt it's a great point because I felt betrayed by my body to some degree. But as my wise sister mentioned, she really turned it around. She said, "You came into this fight so healthy that that's probably why you made it through as much treatment as you did." And that's what I really cling to. I was a yogi. I ate meat. I ate a lot of different things, but in balance, I exercised. And sometimes you just, it's not right. Life is not fair. Sometimes you just get a bum diagnosis, and that's just what it is. And so,
I think we should make the point you made just now and you made so well in the book, that by being healthy and strong beforehand, you took a cancer, which has not a great prognosis, a stage 4 inflammatory breast cancer, and you're now a 5-year survivor. So in fact, some of what you did before and a lot of probably what you've done since, as well as the innovative treatments and your own getting an advocate and doing all the things right, probably made a huge difference. And this book not only teaches you all of the things that surround the cancer that are important, such as, if you will, from the waiting room to the bedroom, as you say so beautifully in the title. But it actually is everything you need to know to give yourself the best chance at survival.
That is the truth. And I think to let your mind and let your emotions acknowledge them and acknowledge what's going on besides the physical aspect is really important when you're battling cancer. To really, you know, if you need help in any of those areas, to speak up and really make your needs known, I think is really crucial in facing a cancer diagnosis.
We've been talking with Laura Holmes Haddad, author of a wonderful and just a good read, as well as just incredibly stock full of wise pearls. This is Cancer, Everything You Need to Know from the Waiting Room to the Bedroom, published by Seal Press. Do go to Amazon or wherever you go to get this book. It is a great read. And a great piece of information. And I would say, so many people are touched by cancer. It's actually a wonderful book to give someone who has cancer as a read early on in their diagnosis. It's positive, it's helpful, and it's chock full of good pearls. Thank you, Laura, for being on You, the Owner's Manual podcast. And I can't thank you enough.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
And Randall, thank you for great engineering as usual. This is podcast 869, the B version. That is the guest part of it. We'll be back next week with the best news of the week and what it means to you so you can take control, as well as another exciting and wonderful guest. Stay tuned. Thanks. Keep downloading us. Keep rating us. We appreciate it. Till next week. Remember, you have the power to take control of your health.